Indeed, he is our high priest, our compassionate high priest. And one day every knee shall bow to him and proclaim him Lord of all. And may we who are his people, may we give Christ Jesus all glory due his name. And I really appreciated our time of singing just now. We could worship and exalt him. We're looking at the book of Hebrews tonight. And if we could turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. There are a number of verses there I want to look in the book of Hebrews, but I want to pay particular attention to just three tonight. Hebrews 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Really, that is the heart of the message. Christ Jesus is our great high priest, and indeed he is our compassionate high priest. And I want to focus on that tonight. He being our compassionate high priest. Let's come to a time of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. It is a living word. It transcends time. Lord Jesus, you were from the beginning. The word was before we were even created. The word was living. And you are the word incarnate, Lord. You came to this earth and you died a sinless death for us. And you have passed through the heavens. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we come tonight as unto a living God, as unto a God who is compassionate, who has walked this earth and has experienced sorrow. Oh Lord, you are a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Lord Jesus, you were touched by infirmities, by hunger, by sickness, by all manner of temptations, and therefore you are able to assist and aid those who are afflicted and tempted. Oh, I pray, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, you would draw out from this word a message, a word to each heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ Jesus is supreme. And as I've been studying the book of Hebrews, really the theme and the testimony of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus the Son, he is all supreme and he's all sufficient. That's really the message of the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is all supreme. He is God and he is all sufficient. We don't need any animal sacrifice. We don't need any other way. There is not seven steps to salvation. There is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and in these verses, verses 14, 15 and 16, I want to focus tonight on Jesus Christ, who is a compassionate high priest. In Hebrews 4 and verse 14, we read, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession," or our profession of faith. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens for us. And in these verses tonight, I want to look at three keys that are offered in this text that spur us on as God's people, that spur us on in our faith and in our dependence on Christ. We know from the book of Hebrews, he is all sufficient. We know from this book and from our Bibles that he is all supreme, the Lord Jesus. And tonight, let's look at some keys offered in this text to spur us on, that we may hold fast our confession and our dependence on Christ. And the first thing I want to look at tonight, the first key is that Christ is a living high priest. Is a living high priest. Christ is a living high priest. All the priests that went before the Lord and all the high priests that went before him have all passed on. But Christ Jesus lives forever. He is a living high priest. Now, man is looking for something living, for something real. It was a very interesting documentary Nicole and I watched last week about a vast part of our world called Siberia. And in this vast part of our world, as we were watching this documentary, there was this small group of people, this small sect, who were worshipping this man-made, this man that was their Messiah, this sect. And these people would come from all parts of Russia and gather in this mountain village and worship this man. And I mean, he had the hair, like you see, on the image, the fake European image of Christ, the blue eyes, the blonde hair, he had the robes, and they would literally bow to this man and worship him. And there's a whole following, a whole group of people. And it was interesting, the presenter of that documentary said, Jesus Christ has been dead for 2,000 years. These people are coming to worship something living. They actually want to hear from him. So this man, this cult leader, would stand there and give them all directions. See, man is looking for something real. Man is looking for something living. And our Bible is living, and our God is living, and Jesus Christ is a living high priest. How that struck my heart when that documentary presenter said he's been dead for 2,000 years, and these cult worshippers come because they want to worship something that is alive. Someone who is living. And it's the same through the book of Romans, that man worships the creation rather than creator. Man is looking all around. He worships himself, humanism. He worships creation. He's looking for things, idolatry, things to bow to. But we have a living high priest. A living high priest. All of the previous high priests died. And the priests, the pattern in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement, all of that was a sign of better things to come. Christ Jesus came, and the Bible says that he lives forever to make intercession for us. We serve a living priest. He has an unchanging priesthood. He has an unchanging priesthood. Just flick over to Hebrews chapter 7, and it's a bit of our text that we had on the screen tonight. But let's look at Hebrews 7 verse 22. Hebrews 7, verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. That's why he is alive today. He is alive tonight. And therefore, the Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Now, this is the idea of the all-sufficiency of Christ. We don't need anything else. We have the man, the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have more than a system of belief. Christianity is more than just a system of belief, of theology. We have a living high priest. We have a living Savior. God, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. He's become higher than the heavens. He passed through the heavens. Because he was alive, he was taken up into glory. He was taken up as the apostles stood there and marveled. He was taken up into glory, passed through the heavens. And he does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices. He does not need daily as those priests. He doesn't need to offer up sacrifice for himself and then for the peoples. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness. But the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Jesus Christ has an unchanging priesthood. And friends, tonight we come to a living God. We come to a living God. All the gods of the earth are idols. But we come to a living God and a living high priest. Oh, I wish that more would see. Oh, I cry out for my friends and my relatives who are blinded by the God of this age. And though we might be in the minority, they have been blinded by the God of this age. Because one day, when they stand in fearful condemnation, those who have rejected Jesus Christ, those who have put off that sacrifice for their sin, that atonement that was possible for their sin, they will stand and give account before a holy God. And how can any man stand before a holy God, without the sacrifice of Christ, without a high priest interceding for them. It breaks my heart, as I'm sure it would yours, to see men, women, and children reject a living high priest and turn rather to idols and to cult worship and everything else that goes on. Friends, we have a living high priest. This has to spur us on. This must spur us on in our faith and our dependence on him. He is living. That's the first key. Number two, he has given us saving faith. We have obtained saving faith. This high priest has given us a way, has made a way that no other one could have. We know that in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and of goats could never satisfy. It could never satisfy. It could never take away God's wrath against sin. It really was only putting it into a holding pattern, lid, covering it as with a lid, God's anger against sin. But he has made a way, this high priest. The Bible says that he carries our sins into the land of forgetfulness. He remembers our sins no more. The Bible teaches us that he has washed us in his own most precious blood. The Bible says that he has clothed us with a robe of his imputed righteousness. That is, that when we stand before God, that we are seen before God, holy and righteous, even as God looks down upon his Son, the Lord Jesus, and sees him spotless in that same power and in that same majesty. Before a holy God, we are seen in like-mindedness. We are seen the same way. That is incredible. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be added to your salvation. Nothing can be added. We have obtained saving faith. We cannot add to it. To add to it would be equivalent to saying, Christ's death in my place is not enough. The high priest's work is not enough for me. It would be saying that God is not satisfied with the sacrifice of his own son. If we were to add something to our salvation, and we would never say that, would we? God is satisfied with the sacrifice of his only son. He did not die for the beasts that perish. He did not die for the angels. He died for you and for me. He has made a way. The high priest has made a way that we can enter into that covenant relationship with God that was touched on this morning. That oath that was made by the shedding of blood. And the Lamb of God is given for us, and he has brought us to himself. So all of our sin, all of our filth, every thought and word and deed, the high priest has taken it. He has taken it. He's taken it into the land of forgetfulness, and we have obtained saving faith by a living high priest. And the third key I want to share on tonight, which I want to really just spend some time on, is that he is a compassionate high priest. And we receive compassionate aid. He was tempted, the Bible says. He was tested in all points. Not only is he living, not only has he saved us, but today he makes intercession for us. And today he helps in our time of need. He is a compassionate high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. The Bible says that when he walked on this earth, he was tempted in all points. He is able to understand us. Angels cannot. He is able to understand us in a way that beings that are superior to us, God's holy angels, they cannot understand. They cannot, because they did not condescend. They did not become man. And see, this is the difference, that Jesus came down, the Son of Man, and as our great high priest, he was tempted in all points. And Hebrews 4:15 in our text says, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He can sympathize with our weaknesses because he was in all points tempted as we are. But the difference is, he without sin. He without sin. I got this from Grace Gems. I'll just read you this devotion from Grace Gems. He is able still to sympathize with all the sorrows and infirmities to which his people are exposed. In that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to support those who are tempted. As he was and is and always will be the very and eternal God, so is he and so will he ever be the man Christ Jesus, very God and very man. Such is our great high priest, divine in his ability, human in his sympathy, amid earth's painful trials and temptations. Oh, I just want to read that last part again. Such is our high priest, divine in his ability, yet human in his sympathy, amid earth's painful trials and temptations. In Hebrews 2:18, the text says, in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he's able to aid those. So he can sympathize with us, and he also can aid us. And does not he do that? Does not he do that? That he who suffered, that he who was able to experience what man experiences on this earth, now he is able to aid. He is able to sympathize. In Matthew 4, we know when Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, how did the devil come to him? In so many temptations, in numerous temptations, he commanded him to turn the stones into bread. He took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle to throw himself down. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and asked that if only Jesus would bow down to him, that he could have all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. If you started to enumerate the number and the number of times and how many temptations our Lord endured, the books and volumes of the earth could not fill. The number of times our Lord Jesus was tempted, how he walked upon this earth. And yet Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." That brings to mind James 4:7, doesn't it? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Jesus was tempted in all points. And our compassionate high priest, having experienced this world, having experienced its difficulty, yet being without sin, is able to aid us. And this is a great benefit. If we grasp this truth, that Jesus Christ is a living high priest, that Jesus Christ, through him alone we have obtained saving faith, and that through him we receive compassionate aid. If we experience this, if we live this out, we will be a great blessing to others. We will be a great blessing to others. You see, Ephesians teaches us to be tender-hearted to one another. Now, if we were to make this practical in the church, in our day-to-day, we're called to be compassionate and tender-hearted. And the only way that we can understand compassion and forgiveness, and the only way we can understand tender-heartedness, is to look to our compassionate high priest. He suffered. He was tempted in all points. And when we see how compassionate he is on us, when we experience his compassion, where he intercedes, we have an evil heart. We have ulterior motives. We still have the flesh warring against the spirit. And yet Jesus Christ is able, as we come to him, he's able to wash us in his precious blood. He is able to aid us. And really this is talking about this cleansing from sin. This is talking about this walking as he walked in newness of life. He was holy and harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And this is a model for us. And if we follow in his footsteps, this will be of great, great benefit to others. We will be compassionate to others. You know, it's very sad that there are those in the church, there are Christians who cut others down. They're not tender-hearted. They're not compassionate. And it's tragic those who are abrupt and legalistic. Why is that so? They're not experiencing the compassion of the high priest. They're not experiencing him. They're not understanding his compassion. Because if you are touched by his compassionate hand, you can't put forth harshness and hostility. But if you truly have received his compassion and you walk even as he walked and walk in compassion, you will show the fruit of love. You will show the fruit of forgiveness. You'll show the fruit of tender-heartedness. It's so sad in the church. It's so sad that there are those who are like that the man who thought God was a hard taskmaster. Remember the man with the talents that hid his talents? He said, God, well, I thought you were a hard man, so I hid my talent. You know, I believe in the goodness and severity of God. I believe in the goodness and severity of God. We cannot make him out to be so severe at one extreme and yet so compassionate at the other that he will just look over sin on judgment day. But friends, our God is compassionate. Our God is offering himself to man. But it's so sad that some see God as this hard taskmaster. I knew you were a hard man, so I hid my talent. But for believers, we must enter into a wonderful fellowship and a tender relationship with this high priest. We must walk with him daily and learn from his word that he is a compassionate high priest. That if I received in my body what was due me, I would disappear at this second. He has not given me what I deserve. He has not given us what we have deserved. He has put our sins away. He has thrown them into the land of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west and as the depths of the deepest sea, he remembers them no more. But for us, for believers, we are to see him as a compassionate high priest so that we can be compassionate to others. So that we can, in the church, with love, overlook certain grievances, certain I say, and wait for God to change people and wait for God to work on people and mold people, because that's what God does with us. He is not a high priest that is so high and holy that he cannot understand our helpless estate. Rather, he condescended to us, to the lowest forms of humanity, sinners such as us, and walked in our shoes. You know, it said, how do you know how someone lives until you've walked a mile in their shoes? He's walked not only a mile, but he's walked and walked and walked and experienced everything that you may possibly experience in a lifetime. Yes, everything. Pain, sorrow, lust, temptation, all of it. The barrage of it all. And yet he remains spotless and without sin. That's why the high priest could pass through the heavens. That's why no other priest that lived on this earth, no other priest in the Old Testament went and ascended to that place where he is ascended and lives right now. And if I don't believe that tonight, I may as well be at the footy. I believe it with all my heart. Jesus is there right now. And he's interceding for you and for me. In spite of our weaknesses. In spite of our wretchedness. In spite of the way our hearts can grow cold. He still intercedes. And by his grace and by his spirit, he pours oil, anointing oil on his church, on his people. And God will have his way in us. God will have his ultimate way in us. Peter writes to us in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you, church of God, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Have compassion for one another. This is the cry of the New Testament church. Love is the theme of the New Testament. Compassion is the theme. We don't need to go out to people with judgment and with harshness and criticism. They're already condemned. They're already condemned. We have a message of eternal life. We have a message of hope. We have a message of a compassionate high priest who can stand in their place and say, my beloved is mine. The beloved is mine, and receive us into glory. Be of one mind. Be spurred on in your dependence on the Lord. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Look at all those words, the book of Peter. Have compassion for one another. Be of one mind. Love as brethren. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. We'll only understand tender-heartedness. We'll only understand compassion as we look to the compassionate high priest. As we see what he's forgiven us. As we see what he has forgiven us, unless we're hypocrites, we'll see how much we're deserving of, how much wrath we're deserving of each and every day. But as the Holy Spirit illumines our eyes to how far we fall short of his glory, we're able to lift up our eyes to the heavens, because he is not dead, as that reporter on that documentary said. He is living, and he is no idol made of man's hands. He is no creation. Hebrews 1 and 2 cover that. He is no angel. He is a living Saviour, a high priest. Therefore, brethren, what is our response to this? What is our response? Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, we who are his, we must have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, one commentator says that this should be a lowly boldness. Now, get your mind around that. A lowly boldness. It's not some peacock strutting their stuff, walking into the court of the king. But it's a lowly boldness, an undeservedness. And yet, we must come. We must, because our life depends on it. It's like Esther, when she came in before the throne room of the king. At any moment she could be put to death. So in lowly boldness she entered the king's court. And if the hand of the king with his scepter didn't come out, she would be put to death that moment. That moment she would be slain. That's an earthly king. In an earthly kingdom, how much more the king of glory? And yet we have boldness now, a lowly boldness, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us. Through the veil that is his flesh, he gave his body for us. He died on the cross. And we have a high priest who resides over the house of God. And therefore our response should be that we draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. No doubting, nothing wavering. Not like a blade that is tossed to and fro by the wind. We can come in lowly boldness, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We must have a clear conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So if there's any filth, if there's anything in the mind, if there's anything in the heart, if there's any grievance against another, give it to him. If there's a sin against another, make it right with that person. If there is a sin of the mind, ask the cleansing blood. Ask for him to cleanse it. So that we can, as the word says, hold fast the confession or the profession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He has done his part. There's nothing else. Besides his ongoing intercession, there's no more coming to earth. There's no more sacrifice for sin. He has done it. He has paid it in full. And so, he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the hope and let us consider one another and to stir up love and good works. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let us continue to exhort one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. And friend, the day is approaching. The day is approaching. The Lord is at hand. We must have a clear conscience as we come to prayer. You know, prayer is so important. The high priest, he intercedes for us. He prays for us. And our prayers ought to be prayers of faith, reverent prayers. This is this coming into his court. This is this lowly boldness. This is this asking for help in time of need. It's not some flippant, irreverent prayer. God doesn't hear those. God does not hear flippant, irreverent prayers. You're just talking to whatever is around you, the seat or the ceiling. God doesn't hear. But if you come truly and lowly and with that boldness, that humble yet boldness, he hears. And we can say with David, I cried to the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. Why? Because the Lord was faced with fears all around him. We can say with David, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Because he intercedes for us, we can make those prayers. Blot out my transgressions, Lord. Withhold not your tender mercies from me. Let your tender mercies come unto me that I may live. It must be a reverent prayer, a faith-filled prayer, even a short, faith-filled cry, Jesus, I sink, is better than hours of vain repetitions. Two words, if they're in faith and they're reverent, is better than all the vain repetitions and empty religious piety. So as we draw to a close, friends, we have the most motivating factor on the face of the earth. This is the most motivating factor on the face of the earth for us, that we have a living and holy, compassionate, great high priest who has passed through the heavens for us. For us. We don't need to worship idols. We don't need to put our trust and hope in things that fade. But we have one who is able to stand in our place and intercede for us for every sin, every thought and word and deed. He's able to intercede and he's able to understand us. If we truly, truly confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. That is his work. He is a compassionate high priest. He does not stand aloof. He does not stand aloof. He is so humble. He is so humble that he even tasted death in the worst manner possible. Crucified by Gentiles on a tree. Cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. Such a one passed through the heavens for us. Death could not hold him. Such a one today is compassionate, interceding for us. So there is a completed work and there's an ongoing one within us. And I thought of these words as we're closing tonight, of that song, Ancient Words, Holy Words. These ancient words were written for us. These ancient words, this Bible has been believed in for centuries and millennia. Won't we believe them? Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Have you sensed God wanting to change your heart tonight? I know he's changing mine because he's a compassionate high priest and he wants me to be more compassionate and more like him. And I know that he wants me to increase in faith and not to waver and not to doubt, but to look to him, our high priest. Holy words. Let's close with this song.